Good morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. And like I had said yesterday morning before the program started, it's a beautiful morning, and it's another beautiful morning this morning. God bless each one of you for joining the program. I want to talk a little bit today about something that's been a real controversy for a lot of people. Was brought to my attention just a week ago, a few days back, actually. It wasn't quite a week. Are we still sinners? As Christians, are we still sinners? I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago, and in it mentioned that, we as Christians, we still sin. We still have, we come to the Lord and ask for repentance. You know, we repent, ask for forgiveness, rather, and we repent of the sin. And, we're not perfect. I wish we were, but we're not. We're humans. We make mistakes. Just because we're saved doesn't, nowhere did it say that when we asked Lord, Jesus to be our Savior, that we would become perfect. It just doesn't happen. It was brought to my attention after the sermon, and last week there was 3 days of, messages called, Seriously. And that's what my sermon was about also. So a lot of the ones who heard those 3 days of messages basically is what my sermon was about. And I got a letter from a gentleman claiming that I, was wrong, that I had preached nothing but just fear and condemnation and all these kinds of things. And he mentioned that we are declared righteous in Christ. Our identity is His. He has identified His bride and body with Himself. Are we to call ourselves and each other sinners? He says, I don't think so. Well, in the sense that we call each other sinners, of course not. And I know that I never preached that. I did mention that we are sinners. We make mistakes. We are not living and doing the will of God like we should be. And I'm sorry that anyone misunderstands what I'm saying sometimes, but I know that when I preached that sermon, I was talking about how we do not fulfill our obligation as Christians. We do not fulfill that obligation to the Lord. Our obligation to God is to do the will of God. And we don't do that very often. Do we does anyone seriously, honestly think that you can go to church on Sunday night, Wednesdays, whatever, as many times as you want to, hold your services, go out and work hard, buy all the things you can possibly buy and get all the glorious things you can possibly get while the world around you and people are dying and going to hell in a handbasket, and that it's okay? Do you really honestly believe that that's okay? Come on, folks, wake up. Quit being so stinking selfish. I am just sick of it. And no, I'm not apologizing for saying quit being so stinking selfish. Because we all are a selfish people. The whole three-page letter that I received, this is a wonderful gentleman, by the way. A wonderful gentleman. I know a lot of his family and everything, and he's a wonderful gentleman. But I think he's being deceived a lot by thinking the whole concept of his letter to me was that and it sums it up perfectly in the very end when it said, I ask that you appeal to others on the basis of love rather than guilt and condemnation. And you can't just appeal, I'm sorry, but you cannot just appeal to people on the basis of love only. The Bible is more than just a book about love. It's a book about God, His love for us, what He done for us, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who God gave to us, who suffered and died for us, but was risen again, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. That's what the book's all about. But in the course of also in that book is what God tells us God tells us other things besides just how much He loves us. He also tells us that there's things we should do. That He's also a jealous God. That we have to worship Him in all ways. And we're not. Everybody thinks that God is just only love and that's all He is. And He is love. He is the agape love. That's how much He loves us. A love that we're not physically as human beings capable of. It's that wonderful of a love. But He's also got rules. He's got things that he tells us we have to live certain ways, folks. And what people are that are thinking nowadays with just the pure love gospel only is that you don't have to live any certain way. God loves you no matter what you do. And that it's all okay. Sure, God loves you no matter what you do. But He's disappointed in a lot of us because of what we do. He's saddened in a lot of us for what we do. Of course He still loves us. I never said He didn't love anybody. But I know He's got to be disappointed in when He looks down and sees some of His children living the way we're living. Living like we're kings and queens and being servants to no one because after all we're righteous. No, we're not righteous in that sense of the word. We are not righteous. What does righteousness mean? Let me add that in here. Righteousness is the position of being totally acceptable to and accepted by God. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is the position of being totally acceptable to and accepted by God. Yes, of course, once we accepted and asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior, repented of our sins, turned away from the sins that we have done in the past and try and promised to follow Him to become a new person and a new creature, yes, we became righteous in the respect that now we're acceptable to God and we're accepted by God. But it doesn't mean that righteousness in the essence that we're perfect. We're not. See, each Christian became acceptable to God when the sin that stood between him and God was washed away by the blood of Christ. Thus, righteousness is our standing in the sight of God as people who are right and accepted in spite of our sins, failures, and shortcomings. This righteousness by faith was not available before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't there. And therefore, it's not even mentioned in the Old Testament in that respect or the four Gospels. It's first revealed, I believe, in the church epistles, which are, you know, written to Christians. So, you know, the righteous, you know, we become righteous with, you know, we're declared righteous in Christ. No, we're declared righteous, you know, in Christ, but through Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12. What does that actually say? 1 Corinthians 12:12. Let me take a peek at that and see. What does 1 Corinthians 12:12 say? Says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Well, that's exactly right. We're all of us as a group are one with Christ now because we have accepted Christ as our Savior. It says, verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body," verse 14, "for the body is not one member but many." And that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the body of Christ, the people as a whole. We are the body of Christ now. And you know, because in that book, 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, they're talking about some of the gifts of the Spirit are. You know, there's diversities of operations, but it's the same God that worketh all in one. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given every man to profit withal, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. See, those verses I just read were the ones leading up to verse 12 and 13. You can't take, and here's where the deception comes in with so many people. This chapter, this book and chapter right here is talking about the gifts that the Lord has given, and how there are many different gifts and many different people. We're all one group with Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ, just like Christ, you know, is also, and so also is Christ in one body. That's what we are. You know, I don't understand. It says, you know, in 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they all were one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body? You know, what's missing with this gentleman's understanding of what's going on here is that he's taken a piece of a chapter, a verse, and that happens so much in this world, folks. It's sad, but it's true. They're taking one verse out of the middle of a chapter and saying, hey, here's what the Bible says, so that, you know, listen, well, you know, we are declared righteous with Christ. That's right. Through Christ, we have become acceptable to God now. Before Jesus came, we were not acceptable to God. We were not righteous enough to be. Matter of fact, we weren't righteous at all. But because of Jesus, we became acceptable to God. Not only to him, but, you know, allowable to him. You know, that's what it says. It just makes it so clear that's what it's talking about. It says, you know, are standing in the sight of God as a people who are right and accepted. You know, we're righteousness, like I explained, is a position of being totally acceptable to and accepted by God. So many people think that the word righteousness means we have become righteous in Christ. They think that means that we become holy. We become a king, or, you know, something of that nature. We become, you know, top of the line now. We don't have to answer to all these other things and things of that nature. We're righteous, so therefore we can do no wrong. You know, that's not what this is about. That's not what that's about. And this gentleman asked me, say, are we to call ourselves and each other sinners? I don't think so. Well, I do. Because, you know what? We are righteous because of Christ. In and through him. But you know what? We sin all the time. We make little mistakes. That's why we need to help. And that's why we should be in church, in these buildings, congregating together and talking to each other, praying to the Lord and worshiping God, so we can edify each other through Christ, through the Lord, and to help each other with our failures. Because we all fail. We all make mistakes. We all have shortcomings. None of us are perfect. And when we start thinking we're perfect, folks, we're not. You know, he said God is love and perfect love casts out fear. Of course it does. The fear is not the fear of each other. It's a different kind of fear, which we're going to get into that in a minute. Listen, it's been a great morning, but there's a lot to cover here. We're going to continue on in the morning with this. God bless each one of you. Praise the Lord. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315 Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, C-A-M-P-P-O-I-N-T, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.